Starting off our second of 3 hours, my name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. And those phone lines are lit up. Are they not, Hawk? Wah! Wake up. He's like, I'm good. I'm here. So we start the second hour. I am live. I'm in our Southern California Bay studios, and this is an open hour. It's the hour you want to jump in. Next hour, I've got two interviews. It's going to be tougher to get through next hour. Really tough to get through, so you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. This talk show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. In hour number one, Alvy. Alvy's like, what? DeMario Davis. We had a conversation with him, Saints linebacker, and we talked about a number of things, including his reaction to Drew Brees' comments yesterday in an interview he made with Yahoo Finance.
You know, I think what was disheartening about it was that we had hoped that we would hear him elaborate more on the problem of racism, and particularly as it pertains to the black community and police brutality. I have a ton of respect for him doing an about face and saying, hey, I messed up. What I said came across as insensitive. But I am, you know, wanting to listen and know how I can use my resources to help the cause. I am on the side with the people. And that's what's most important. Now, because of how the things transpired, you know, his actions will be, we watch closely, as all of our actions should be, because it's not just saying we want to change. It's the actions that's actually going to allow us to change. And that's what we need. The black community has needed for a long time as many allies as possible. And that's why it's so great to see so many different ethnic groups who have traditionally and people who have traditionally gotten it wrong and missed the cries before, who are saying, you know what, this time I'm not going to miss it. This time I'm all ears. This time I'm all in, and I want to be a part of the solution. And so it's been so many people who have missed the point initially that are coming to defense now, and that's what's most important. At the end of the day, we all have to be united in this. The community needs as many allies as possible. And that's what real change is really going to happen.
That was in hour number one, DeMario Davis of the Saints, a linebacker there, a teammate of Drew Brees, came on the program and shared his thoughts. All right, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to take part in that conversation, go right ahead. Let me give you another topic as we start hour number two. Alvin, I need your help in something else too. I'm looking for a particular drop right now. Something that would let me know that it's time for the NBA to resume once again. Do you have anything like that under your fingertips?
Let's play some basketball!
That works. That'll work. That's what I'm talking about. The NBA's Board of Governors is voting on a plan that would represent a return to the 2019-20 season. The plan is for 22 teams to head to Disney World with the intent of restarting on July 31st. July 31st. The 22 teams would include the 16 teams that are currently in the playoff spots, and then six more teams that are within six games of the final playoff spot. That means New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington are all going to Orlando as well. Which means we will get more of Zion, more Dame, more CJ, more Aldridge, more Pop, and so on. Teams would play eight more regular season games, and then there might be a play-in tournament for the eighth seed in both conferences. If the ninth place team is within four games of the eighth place team. So that's the plan. That's the easy part. The hard part would be actually executing and pulling off that plan. Like, as hard as it was to figure out the number of teams and a format and a schedule, the really tough part is going to be daily testing, the restrictions on player movement when they're not playing. It's one thing to tell guys not to shower after games or to sit far apart when they're on the bench. But what about the other 20 hours of the day? How much of a challenge is that going to be for everybody involved the other 20 hours of the day? And what happens if a player does test positive? Because a player is going to test positive. And what happens if that player is a key player? What if it's Giannis? What if LeBron were to test positive for the virus in the postseason? Which brings me to the other point. And that point is, we have no idea how this is going to impact all of the teams. There are probably going to be some teams who respond to the challenge and the format better than others. There are probably going to be some teams who show up in Orlando and they hit the ground running. They're red hot. They get on a roll. While some of these other teams may show up out of shape, sluggish, and then never ever do get right. There's definitely going to be a concern about conditioning and soft tissue injuries when the league does start up again. But I do want to cut off one dopey debate before it even starts. If LeBron James and the Lakers win a ring, if they win a ring this year, it is legit. It's not tainted. It's not cheapened. It's real. Don't be trying to throw an asterisk on them if it happens. They've been the best team in the West all season long. LeBron and Giannis have been the only real MVP candidates all season long. If LeBron, an MVP candidate, playing on the best team in the West all season long, wins a ring in a playoff run of a seven-game series, then it's legitimate. It's not a fluke. There is no asterisk. There is no, yeah, but it was held in Orlando during a pandemic. There's no yeah, but to it. I mean, sure, I can make an argument that having the season stopped for 4.5 months and having to play in a bubble in a theme park, I could actually argue that that might make things even more challenging than it would have been in a normal, regular season. Playing games next to a roller coaster and without a home court advantage might make it tougher, not easier. And if you overcome that, you earn what you get and you've got nothing to apologize for. The same thing goes for Giannis. If Giannis wins a title this year, there is no yeah, but about that ring. He's the reigning MVP, playing on the team with the best record in the regular season. You do that, and if you roll right through the playoffs, you are a worthy champ. So don't let Phil Jackson or any other hot take artist try to tell you otherwise.
Philip
Jackson.
So at this point, in June, nearly 2 months before the season restarts, if either the Lakers or the Bucks win, there's no questioning the outcome. If either of the two best teams in the regular season win the title, they've got a legitimate claim to that crown. They've got nothing to apologize for. So you might be saying, all right, that's fine. They are the two best teams in the NBA with the two best players in the NBA. But what if somebody else freaks their way to a championship? What if somebody else flukes their way to a championship? What if there's a team that is currently a low seed and maybe not even in the playoffs? What if they show up, they get red hot, they get on a heater, and they run right through the postseason to win the title? You know, is the argument not that they're not the best team in the NBA, but they're the hottest team in the NBA? Yeah, I can make that argument about any team in any given year in any sport if they get in. If you have a team right now that's near the lower tier or on the outside looking in and they get hot and they make that run, that'd be amazing. That'd be incredible to see. That'd be brass as hell. Maybe if they get a lot of luck along the way. Maybe if there's like crazy, inexplicable luck along the way. Maybe we have that conversation. But at the same time, it would be impressive as hell to go from outside the playoffs, looking in, or as a low seed, and winning it all in a theme park. That'd be actually pretty cool. And again, not something to apologize for. I would argue that winning it all this season is actually tougher, not easier, given the way the world is right now. And that whoever wins it all has got nothing to apologize for. And so I see otherwise, that's my take. Not only is it not cheapened, but it might be one of the more impressive, intriguing wins ever. And yes, a big-time star could test positive during a playoff series and have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does that change how the playoffs are viewed? Maybe. But then again, how would that be different than a serious injury, which happened during the postseason? Injuries are always a part of the game. Here is what we do know now. The league is giving itself a chance to finish off the season. Yes, it's going to happen in an empty arena. Yes, it's going to happen at the home of Mickey Mouse. But it's still basketball. And that's something. And it's something to look forward to. And if they can do it, now that it's allegedly set up, if they can execute it, it would be something and not something that anybody who wins has to apologize for. I'm fired up, and I know Fergie is as well.
Let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
There's another topic for you. Where do you come out? Speaking of a changeup, Jimmy Connors and his son Brett are my guests on episode 132 of the Jim Rome Podcast. That is live. Hey, do me a favor. Don't look for it right now. Look for it after the program. But it's a good listen. Change pace for you. Dear Jim, the NBA playoff format makes sense. Signed, the BCS formula. Brian in Syracuse. I actually think that it does make sense. Again, it's just going to be a matter of executing it. It's going to be tough to execute. You have all the protocols, all the testing, everything that's in place. And as I mentioned, you know, those 4 hours out of the day, fine. What about the other 20 hours out of the day? Like when the players leave, I understand they're trying to be quarantined and in a bubble, but where do they go? And who have they come in contact with? And what happens then? The format's not that confusing. Whether or not they can execute it, though, is a big question. Wells in the 360 tweets, NBA talk. I could go for the John Tesh Kawhi remix, please. All you had to do, Wells, was ask. Genius. And don't use that as an opportunity to start going in on Tesh or talking about Tesh at the Hall of Fame ceremonies. You were not there. Don't do it unless you were there. And I was in that room, so I know who was there. I know which of you were not there. In fact, the only one of you who was there was my guy John in New York. There's no way anybody listening right now. I mean, there might be some people in the industry that are listening that are not part of the JTP. But for those of you who do go in, for those of you who do react, I know for a fact the only one of you in the room that night was John in New York. So don't use that as an opportunity to talk about Tesh and what he said and what he did. You were not there. I was. And I know why he was frustrated. That was a difficult moment for a lot of people.
Thank
Mike Near Jax.
Jim.
Go ahead, John. Sorry to step on you, my brother.
We're taking my call.
That's not John. That's Jeff. Jeff is invited to the smack-off. Mike Near Jax tweets, with 22 NBA teams in one location, it's really going to seem like it's a small world.
It's a world
wow, Mike. Great job. Hey, Mike, you pretty happy with yourself for that tweet? You shouldn't be. 8,000 other dopes thought the same thing. When we return, take a few telephone calls. And I want to continue to change up and talk about a few more things. I do have a Smack-Off player profile coming up. A reset of my sit-down with Jimmy Connors and his son. A wild, wild, wild story involving a, quote, Spanish porn star, toad venom, and manslaughter charges. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation. Introducing the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it yet again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing then Zoned Support. Casper is a unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you do sleep. And there's something brand new called AirScape. Engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed. Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom of your dreams for every kind of sleeper. I've got my Casper, of course. I've had it for years. I love it. Now Casper is offering free contactless delivery and, as always, free returns. Just go to Casper.com, use the code ROME, and get $100 off your mattress order. That's code name ROME for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. Casper.com, code name ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I don't think I need to reiterate this, but there has never been a time like this before. And I don't mean as somebody sitting at a desk trying to talk sports. I just mean there has never been a time like this before. These are, in fact, strange times. Troubling times. Challenging times. Emotional times. You have the show that you're hearing on the air. You have the show that you're not hearing off the air. You can imagine what that show might sound like. You've got the show which is going on social. You don't need to imagine. You can just look at it. And as I mentioned, I do want to change up and give you some other content and some other things too. So I'm not taking my eyes off the main thing. It's still the main thing. But there are other things. Why don't we take a moment right now and update the Smack Off 26 countdown clock. 15 days, 11 shows. Let me repeat that. 15 days, 11 shows, and then it is on. Personally, I can't wait. I wish this thing were tomorrow. I'm ready to roll. I think most of you in the field are ready to roll. We don't need two more weeks of this. We don't need the hype. We don't need the buildup. I'm good to go. I wish this thing were tomorrow, but it's not. But speaking of tomorrow, that puts us exactly 2 weeks out. And as of right now, I've got a grip of people who have confirmed, but only two on-air RSVPs. Only two. Now, I know that some of these things will come rolling in week of. But I'll take them if you got them. I will take them as soon as you get them. Do not be afraid to check in. It's not as early as it seems. Again, tomorrow, we're officially 2 weeks out. So while I wait on those, let me continue again with our player profiles. Today, I'm going to take it north of the border. Let's get international with it. Years past, this was a joint profile, because in years past there was a Team Canada, Tag Team Canada. In 2020, that team no longer exists. That team has been disbanded. What was once Tyler in Edmonton and Matt in Vancouver. Like, who will ever forget the bros going to New York City to scout out the talent there? Who will ever forget the bros finding Ty Domi in his bar and having a cigar and a cocktail with Ty Domi? Who will ever forget the bros, Team Canada, finding Rich Ackerman and dropping a Canadian jersey on him? I mean, that was then and this is now. So what was once Tyler in Shredmonton and Matt in Vancouver is now just Matt in Vancouver.
As statistically the best Canadian caller to your show of all time, my hands are heavy and my back is strong from carrying that dirt person from Edmonton for the last 2 years. But hey, it's time to leave his ass behind like a heavy deuce and soar my sexy lean ass to new heights. Yo, Tyler, consider that a divorce.
After 3 years of being a package deal, Matt served Tyler his papers on the air back in 2019. And they have been running solo and separate ever since. So today's player profile is not on Team Canada. It's on Matt in Van. Now, it's no secret, Matt, like Tyler, has had a really rough go in the Smack Off. Three appearances, one top tenner. And that top 10 was as far down in the top 10 as you can get. never a good thing when your most memorable moment in the smack off was the time that Brad and Corona put a picture of your face on the front end of his banana hammock and then broadcast it to millions worldwide on the CBS Sports Network. However, to write Matt in Van off for three disappointing smack offs would not be right. Remember, hundreds have called during the smack off. Only 14 total have won. And Matt has come in here multiple times, and he has owned his shortcomings on the big stage, in the big arena. He even referred to himself as the Clayton Kershaw of the jungle. I've got to respect that self-awareness, that self-audit. I'm sure he's broken tape on himself. He's gone to school on that. He's tried to improve on it. I'm not going to gloss over the failings in the smack off, although he does have that one top 10. I'm not going to gloss over, however, his tremendous regular season phone calls either. They happened and they do matter. This dude has 3 years of solid, solid phone calls in the regular season. Don't believe me? Ask Keith Arnold.
Good luck to Keith, man. He's following in a long line of former crew members, moving on to smaller and worse things. Will he end up like Kyle Brandt, oozing fake manufactured enthusiasm for some preseason NFL game? Will he end up like Jay Stew, picking up Rodney Pete's dry cleaning? Will he end up like Dozmati, doing whatever the hell Dozmati's doing? Or maybe he's going to end up like Austin Huff, who actually served me my coffee at Starbucks this morning. Anyway, Keith, good luck with one of the worst decisions of your life.
Besides ripping Keith apart for leaving the show and everybody else. And by the way, I think pretty much everybody else is doing pretty well. Some better than others. Only one of them is doing better than they were here. I don't know. Just kidding. Ouch. Yeah, but if I were any of those guys listening right now, I'd say, yeah, really? Really tough guy? Are you doing better since we left? Yes. Just kidding. What I'm saying, thanks, Alvy. Besides ripping Keith and pretty much everybody else who's ever left the show, Matt has taken aim at those who are still participating on the program. People like Rick in Buffalo, Lef in Laguna, Dan in Denver.
Smack off season is upon us. Time to weed out the frauds, my man. Namely, Dan in Denver, who I called out for being a cowardly punk bitch over a month ago. We still haven't heard a peep from him. I rest my case. And nice to see a cute little gif from Lef in Laguna, the Laguna Beach belly. Guess this freak's too busy swapping Q-tip techniques with Andrew Siciliano and Adam Silver to call the show. Front-running bag. And as for this gas bag, Rick in Buffalo. Rick, you look like an angry, screaming human penis, man. Mix in a baseball cap.
I mean, damn. The thing is, though, we know he's got that in him. And that's not just some one-off. That's not some one call that he got nice with. I know that guy's got that in him, but it's the type of game that Matt desperately needs to bring with him on June 19th for Smack Off 26. Nobody needs a good showing like that, quite like this guy. I mean, think about this. Most everybody is pulling against him. He broke off Tyler. Most of America, if not all of America, not name me, wants to see this guy go into the tank again. I mean, he is an island onto himself. He is as on his own as you can possibly be. So this is it. It's time. Matt, it's time. You know this. You're an athlete. You know this. I know you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Put up or shut up. But I'm telling you, I would not have you in here if I didn't think you had that in you on the big stage. Like, if this guy really is Clayton Kershaw, then I'm Dave Roberts. Everybody might be begging me to pull him, but nothing's going to shake my faith in this guy. Because this is one of the guys who got us there. And I have seen the nasty, filthy stuff before.
I'm taking this Canada Heat personally, Rome. I'm a perpetual road team. I'm outmanned. I'm outgunned. But I wouldn't want it any other damn way. Rick's just the jungle's version of a mall cop. a fat loser who garners no respect at all, but his pepper spray makes him feel like a tough guy. I don't know if this Drizzle guy is good or not, but I do know Drizzle is the stupidest name I've ever heard. Ducknut, this 40-year-old loser has done nothing but record your content for 20 years and put it on his own website. It's pathetic. Your boss, Eric Spitz, female viewership has jumped no less than 900%. And hey, Mona, we're going to win you over, baby. You'll be Team Canada soon enough. War Reggie in the OC going full Reese McGuire during his calls. Callan Vegas is a deluded, psychotic, hooker-addicted moron. Adam Hawk, who is such an insufferable D-bag that everyone not named Alvin has quit for far worse jobs. Mark in Boston, Tony Saragusa pimping man's depends thinks you need to clean your act up. Wartan in Denver using a shaken up soda bottle as a bidet. And I know you've said numerous times Mark in Boston could win a smack off. And man, you're right. If Les, Vic, Mike, Chael, Benny, Tyler, and myself all pass away before the smack off, then Mark in Boston sure as hell has a chance. Can we get Jeff a liver smoothie and go ahead and send him the hell away again? Damn, man. And his palatial estate in Virginia. I think we know that was about 10 years in a supermax federal penitentiary for sex crimes, Jeff. The only memorable thing Dan has done in the last year is get his ass knocked out by my guy Big Daddy Beak in Studio City with a truck stop hooker bum sex blast. Hey, Rick, everybody is sick of you, and you're uglier than the new bowling ball working for Rome. The only item on our shared calendar, Corona, is Mrs. Corona's scheduled Northern Sando. Kyle, son, I'm Peyton Manning, and you're the trainer, and I'm dropping D's right on your forehead. War Canada's comeback. Peace!
You're uglier than the new bowling ball working for Rome. Wow. And to Dozmati, whatever the hell Dozmati is doing now. All right, see, this is why this guy's still invited. This is why this guy still is encouraged to show up that day. Because I know he's got that in him. That just never shows up the day of. It's time, Maddie. You know this. It's October baseball now, Maddie. I'm giving you the ball again, Maddie. Everybody is telling me I don't know what the hell I'm doing. They're telling me I should be fired. I should not be the manager. I should no longer be the skipper because I keep running you out there every fifth day. I keep giving you the ball. Don't let me down, Maddie. I've seen your stuff. I've seen you win when you're filthy. I've seen you win when you don't have your best stuff. Bring it on the day that matters. Do not let me down, Matt. I'll see you in 15 days. Matt in Vancouver. Alvy, big ups to you. Every year we do the player profiles, but this is something we start doing more of this year at the very end when we recap with the full rip. Every one of the guys that I've done that for so far, when you play their best of their best, it shows they're good enough to be in that day. But can they bring that and then take it next level the day of? That's what makes Brad so good. Brad does it every single year. Rick in Buffalo has got a good look at it too. Who you got? I got to check out the latest odds on Stucknut. Who you got? I mean, every time I play one of those things, it sounds like, yeah, he's got it. He's got it. He can do it. I can make that argument again. I said this yesterday. I can make that argument for no less than 10 and probably as many as 12 or 14 people. Who you got? 143C1 tweets. Those stats by Matt and Van are good enough for the smack off. Signed, Frank Gore. Yo, bro, shut your mouth already. Frank Gore is going right to the Hall of Fame, whether you get it or not, whether you like it or not. Matt's got a top 10. Matt just has more game than one top 10. Matt's got way more attitude than a guy who's finished in the top 10 once. And when I say top 10, I don't mean third. I don't mean fifth. I don't even mean seventh. I mean 10th. But he did divorce Tyler.
Consider that a divorce.
So now he's an island. Now it's Matt against the world. When we return, your telephone calls. Did you notice who was trending yesterday? Right around the time that Drew Brees was. Another NFL quarterback. No names mentioned. Mike Glennon. Jungle porn for you ghouls. I knew I was going to have a rough afternoon when I saw that. All of that and Chris Mannix and Dana White next hour. Stay tuned. First up, a sports update. Here is the latest on this busy Thursday. Here is Rich.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So again, you forget how good Matt Vancouver is. It's just, he's not that good on the day that matters. Hitman Canadian, quote, Matt in Van, spitting venom like a rabid moose. Do rabid moose spit venom? I haven't had like close encounters with a moose, but I've seen them before. When we had that house in Montana, we'd go in the summertime. I would see moose. They're mean, man. They are mean. You don't want to mess with a moose. The Real Don Schaefer tweets, listeners since 2005, my pick for SmackDown 26 is Mike in Indy. The Real Don Schaefer. Hey, I got a message for you, The Real Don Schaefer. The real name of the event is Smack Off, not SmackDown. How can you be a listener since 05 and refer to the most important show of the year as the SmackDown? Real Don Schaefer? Come on, man. That's your pick for the SmackDown 26? Were you here for SmackDown 25? Who are you, bro? The real Jeff Passan? Just kidding, Jeff.
You will be able to tell the passion which I bring to this subject, and I'm going to bring it to the SmackDown this summer as well.
I can make light of Passan because Passan's like the smartest guy ever. Passan is a prodigy. Passan could have won the SmackDown at age 4. I remember one time I was doing my TV show, and Jeff Passan brought his son in. And his son was maybe, I don't want to misspeak. I mean, I don't know if the child was 6. He was young, though. Really young. And Jeff brings him up to meet the host. You know, this is his son. This is Mr. Rome. I had this conversation with this kid. This kid was like 6. He was talking circles around me already. So, smack off, smack down, tomato, tomato. If you're passing, you can get away with that. You, the real Don Schaefer, cannot. But passing can. This guy's like, man, I've been a listener since 05. Let me tell you who's going to win that there SmackDown. Oh, Callan Vegas is in. So far this week, you have profiled Mark in Boston, Dan in Denver, Matt in Van. Who's next? Parody Larry and Dr. Dave in Chicago? Man, I can't wait for Cal. Hey, Cal, you're going to have an opportunity to rip everybody's beard off everybody's face and make them all eat it. So far, you've profiled Mark in Boston, Dan in Denver, and Matt in Van. Who's next? Parody Larry and Dr. Dave in Chicago. Well done. I like that for 2 reasons. 1, I like it because it's good. And 2, because the guy's coming in. The guy is showing up 2 weeks out. Who you got? Who do you like in the SmackDown? SmackDown 26.
The Smack-Off.
1-800-636-8686. All right, I feel badly about this. I do. But it's so good that I've got to go there anyway. Before Drew Brees' name started and did not stop trending, another well-known quarterback's name was popping up all over Twitter. This guy had to be at home, minding his own business, in quarantine, not knowing what's going on, and then probably his phone started blowing up, either with notifications or people calling to let him know. A well-known quarterback, not named Drew Brees. All right, to be fair, not exactly well-known. Not for most. But to you clones and ghouls, he seems to be your GOAT. One of your all-time favorites. But for all the wrong reasons. I'm speaking of Mike Glennon. Why would I, especially at this time, be talking about Mike Glennon? I don't know. For some reason, you clones love it. For some reason, you get all caught up in certain physical attributes of my guy. Physical attributes that really have nothing to do with anything at all. Yet, somehow, his look is jungle porn for many of you dopes. Not me. Never me. I think there's nothing wrong with this guy and the way he looks. In fact, in terms of the way he looks, he'd fit in perfectly on the other side of the glass with my crew, the XR4TI. Am I right, Rit?
It's lit!
Rit's having a rough day, man. Am I right, Rit? What do you have to say for yourself, Rit?
Game on.
Besides game on.
Finally.
Besides finally.
Mark it down.
That's besides mark it down. That's an H. He just hit me with, he's a good looking man.
Boom.
Right, Rit. You're a young, healthy man. Anyway. For you clones, he's kind of got that trifecta working. The hairline, not Rit. Although Rit does look exactly like Glennon. He's got the hairline, he's got the double chin, and of course he's got the neck. Always the neck. You clones love Glennon's neck. You feel like it's extremely long. And every time I bring Glennon up, my inbox gets shredded with emails about that. The look, specifically the neck. Shredded. Not his neck is shredded. My inbox is shredded. You're all funny guys. All real comedians. Hey, Rome, what sort of competitive advantage does Mike Glennon get by eating tree leaves that are out of reach for every other QB? Hey, Jimmy, if you had Mike's neck, you could probably just lean over and see what we're emailing on Hawk's computer yourself, right? No, idiots. There's a big, thick piece of glass between us. Again, just sophomoric, stupid, moronic, childish stuff. And I'm sure since I brought him up already, there's a lot more where that came from. Hey, Rome, you going to talk about Harvey Williams and Merton Hanks and Harry Giles also? No. No, I'm not. But the reason I'm even talking about Mike Glennon is because Akeem Hicks was talking about Mike Glennon. You know, the stud Chicago Bears D lineman. One of the most underrated D linemen in the NFL when he's right. Right. That Akeem Hicks. Well, my guy's comedy game is on point with his pass rush and his run game skills. Elite in short areas. Because when asked by the Chicago Sun-Times about Colin Kaepernick's continued unemployment, Akeem took a very serious issue and made partial light of it. When asked about Colin Kaepernick's continued unemployment, Hicks needed just four words to make his point. Quote, "We signed Mike Glennon." End quote. Damn, straight fire. Boom! Let's go home.
Boom.
Let's go home!
My man could have taken his time, used or mentioned 100 different reasons why it's utter BS that Kaepernick still does not have a job in the NFL. Instead, he chose exactly four words to explain and sum up the situation, especially as it related to the Bears. Quote, "We signed Mike Glennon." It's an amazing statement. Well done, my man. You're right. Look, y'all know how I feel about nobody signing Kaepernick. I've ranted on this several times. I've gotten into it today. I got into it earlier in this week. It's got nothing to do with his ability to play the game. Nothing to do with his ability to play the quarterback position. Nothing to do with his desire. Nothing to do with whether or not he'd accept a backup role. Nothing to do with his contract demands. It has everything to do with his protest. But instead of banging my head against the wall and trying to make that point over and over and over again, instead of trying to describe why he took that knee, I could have just uttered those four magic words. The Bears signed Mike Glennon. Five. The Bears signed Mike Glennon. End of story. We signed Mike Glennon. My man, I'm not sure. Not since my man CJ McCollum uttered, "I'm trying, Jennifer," have I seen something so good, so concise, so pointed on Twitter. And here's the thing. That contract that Ryan Pace and the Bears gave to Glennon, was absolutely asinine as well. Everybody outside the Windy City has forgotten about that contract because of how bad the Mitchell Trubisky draft pick was. But this in and of itself was also horrible. Pace ran Cuddy off, and he signed Glennon to a three-year, $45 million deal in March of 2017. Now, I understand these contracts are not always what they appear. But at that point, Glennon had not started a game since 2014, and Pace gave him $18.5 million in guaranteed money. And sorry, Pace, it gets worse. The next month, he traded up for Trubisky. There are bad off seasons, and then there is the Chicago Bears 2017. No Cuddy, no cap, but Glennon and Mitchell. Kaepernick is still out of the NFL, but Ryan Pace is still in it in a front office capacity, pulling the big check. What a freaking world. As for the Mike Glennon era in Chicago, he started four games, then he was benched for Mitchell. But this rant is not about that. It's about Hicks and how right he is. Truly, if you don't think that Kaepernick's in the NFL because of his play, man, get your head out of the sand. All right, pun intended. Sorry, Mike, I couldn't resist. We all know why Kaepernick is not in the NFL. And while I don't need Akeem Hicks to reiterate that or to tell me why he's not, I'm glad that he did. Because my man's funny. Even if nothing about the situation is, we signed Mike Glennon. Mr. Hicks, I know this is a very, very polarizing issue for some, a very uncomfortable topic for others. Can I get your reaction to Colin Kaepernick and what that protest represented? Sure. We signed Mike Glennon.
Shut it down!
When we come back, I've got another open segment, and I have Chris Mannix and Dana White back-to-back right after that. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. I've got a third hour next.